Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before we get started tonight. Father, we just thank you tonight for the extraordinary love of God. It's the reason that we're all here. It's the reason this church exists. It's the reason we have life. It's the reason we have purpose. And Father, we just ask you tonight that you'd open our hearts to understand the extraordinary, the extraordinary kindness of God. We pray that you'd touch each and every heart here this evening, each and every life, young and old. You know every detail of their life, every skeleton in the closet. There is nothing that you do not know. Nothing about them that you're ashamed of. Nothing about them that you don't care about deeply. And I pray you to press that on us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, this message is entitled, God Loves the Broken People. And heals and changes their lives. You know, I've been thinking about putting up a new billboard in the city somewhere and coming out with a new rock card that says, at last a church for misfits and broken people. Because that's what the rock is. Now, you may think to yourself you're not. Maybe after the evening's done, you might come to a new realization of yourself. But the amazing thing about God that's so different than you and I is that we're attracted to new things, beautiful things. We don't like scratched things, dented things, used things. We sort of think of it kind of as demeaning if we have to go shop at the Goodwill or the Salvation Army. But God loves broken things. God loves the things that have been kicked to the side of the road. I've almost thought about calling us the ditch people. Now, I was thinking the other day as I was driving on the highway, you know, when all the snow melts, it's pretty, and then we can't wait for it to be gone, and then it gets all that black dirt on it, and then it starts to disappear. In my neighborhood, I don't know what's been happening, but ever since I moved there, it's sort of going downhill. Maybe it's my fault. But there's this neighbor, he's got this old beat-up van, and it's been covered with snow, and he's driving. Now it's slowly showing itself. Finally, it's revealed. Neighbor across the street, he's got a couple of little mattresses that are sitting right by the curb, sat there all winter, and now they're just covered with mud and dirt. And there's cans, and there's all this junk. And I think about that when I drive down the highway, and I look over at the ditch, and I know this sounds strange to you. Maybe it won't when I'm done this evening. But God put in my heart, many, many years ago, a very special love for broken people. Maybe because I was one. Maybe because I recognize that everybody's a broken person. It's just so many don't realize it. And so many of the people that I have had the opportunity to know, to lead to Christ over the last 12 years since we started The Rock and for many years at Evergreen, they're the people that were just kind of kicked by the side of the road, left in the ditch, and no one really had much time for it. And in many ways, that was the reality. Whether it was family that had kicked them to the side of the ditch. Whether it was friends that had just kind of left them to their own devices. God absolutely loves the brokenhearted. In Psalm 34:18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. Isaiah 61:1, this is one of my life passages in the Bible. I have many of them, but this is one that I go over often before I'm going to speak. The prophet Isaiah said, for the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, for the Lord has anointed me, means he's touched my life. To bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort and bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim to the captives that they'll be released and prisoners will be set free. Every single one of us in this auditorium tonight, in some way or another, has been damaged by sin. We've been damaged by the things of this life. We've been damaged by our own selfishness. We've been damaged by our own waywardness. We've been damaged by the dysfunction that we grew up in, whether in a family or in that family and in the world that we call our culture. Or whether it was with our group of friends, or whether it was with an ex, boyfriend, or girlfriend. We've been damaged. We've been broken. Our spirits have been crushed. And of course you realize that it really is only the contrite and the broken that can ever come to God. There's something about being broken that causes our inward heart to be humble. And it draws us to God. It helps us understand that God loves the broken people. God cares about the broken people. In Matthew chapter 9, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus, and he's traveling from city to city. He's preaching the good news of God's love and God's forgiveness, and he's healing people, and he's talking to people, crowds, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who have all kinds of problems. They weren't just sick. They had all kinds of problems, like so many people that come through these doors. And the Bible says Jesus was moved to great compassion and pity when he looked upon the multitudes. And when it says he was moved, it means he was emotionally, deeply stirred. Something inside of him. Jesus is God. And when God looks down at this world and he sees the brokenness of your life, he doesn't pull back in revulsion. He doesn't pull back and say, you know what? You know, just go clean up your mess and then come talk to me. So often that's what we think of God. We think that God is in this unapproachable, holy, perfect being. He is holy. He is perfect. But what's remarkable about Jesus Christ, and I thought I would read this to you tonight, is how extraordinarily comfortable sinners were with Jesus. This is one of my favorite passages in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus speak. This made the religious Pharisees and the teachers of the law complain and grumble that he was associating with such despicable undesirables. In fact, Jesus was even eating with them. Now I'll tell you what. If that's what holiness does to your life, then give me some more of that. Because Jesus was God. And see, we think to ourselves, well, God, I couldn't talk to God. I mean, listen, I have people that have trouble calling me on the phone and opening up to me, let alone God. And I'm a broken human being that Christ changed. And it's amazing how ashamed we can feel of our own skeletons, of the things that we become addicted to and that are ruining our lives. And we think to ourselves, well, Jesus, he'd never take time for me. That's who Jesus spent his time with. That's why the religious leaders killed him. They were jealous of the influence that Jesus had because people loved him. And they loved him because he was so kind. He was so tender. He was so understanding. He was so approachable. He empathized with the tremendous struggles they went through. So Jesus gave the religious leaders this illustration. And of course, he's talking in front of all the despicable people who are sitting at this meal eating with him. If you had 100 sheep and one of them strayed away and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others to go and search for the lost sheep till you found it? And then you would joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. When you arrive, you call together your friends and neighbors to rejoice because your lost sheep was found. In the same way, heaven has a party and is happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than over 99 others who are so righteous and have never strayed away. Heaven rejoices. God has a party with the angels every single time a broken person comes to Christ. Every single time. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 6, it says this. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is changing lives everywhere. just as it changed yours that very first day you heard and understood the truth about God's great kindness to sinners. God specializes in changing lives and healing broken people. That's God's specialty. And you see, when we understand that God came to change our lives, God has been kind to us sinners. When we understand that, our lives start to change. When we understand in a personal way that God loves the broken. God loves the destitute. God loves the depraved. God loves the unrighteous. God loves the addicted. He cares about them deeply. So deeply that He gave His Son in our place. He gave His Son. That's why Jesus came. So that He could die on a cross and God the Father could crush Him instead of us. That He could be judged for our unrighteousness. Because let's be honest. If we're honest, I got some really amazing stories to share with you tonight. Real life stories from the Rock. In people's own words. And you're going to discover as we go through these stories, and if you're really honest, you know who our worst enemy has been in life? Yourself. The one who has damaged your life more than any other has been you and the foolish decisions that you and I have made to follow the crowd, to listen to the world, to sleep around, to use drugs, to get drunk. You name it, we did it. Now, we couldn't choose the family we were born into. And we may not have got a really good start in life. In fact, we may have gotten a rotten start in life. And that's not your fault. But you're going to see in some of the stories I read tonight that later on, some of these young men and women, as teenagers, decided of their own volition to begin making really bad decisions. And those decisions had terrible consequences in their life. Those terrible decisions, let's call those sinful choices, they were put on Jesus Christ when He died on that cross. God took them, sort of sucked them out of us, and put them on His Son, and He crushed His Son so that Jesus could take our sin and we could have Jesus' goodness and Jesus' righteousness. And then He died on that cross. He was buried. He laid in that tomb, dead, suffering our penalty. And then He rose from the dead, and He conquered death, and He conquered sin, and He comes to live in every single one of us. He is the hope of glory. Christ in you, as we sang tonight, the hope of glory. Christ comes and makes His home in your life, if you let Him. We were singing a song tonight, Jeremy wrote, titled The Road to Damascus. That song is taken from the true story of one of the most prominent men in the Bible, who was also at one time one of the most evil men in the Bible. And I'd like to read to you just a little passage from the book of Timothy about this man known as the Apostle Paul. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul's writing biographically here for a moment. How incredibly thankful I am to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, for considering me worth something. And that He appointed me to serve Him, even though I used to scoff at the name of Christ. I hunted down His people. I harmed them in every way that I could, those Christians. But God had mercy on me, because I did it in ignorance and my own foolish unbelief. Oh, how kind and gracious God was to me. He filled me completely with faith and love of Jesus Christ. This is a true saying. This is a true saying, and everyone should believe it. Christ came into the world to save sinners, broken people, and I was the worst of them all. But that is why God had mercy on me. So that Christ could use me as a prime example of His great patience to even the worst of sinners and the most broken of people. Then others would realize that they too can believe in Christ and have eternal life. Paul goes on throughout different passages in the Bible to describe what he did. In Acts chapter 8, verse 3, he went everywhere devastating the church, dragging men and women out of their homes. Some of you have been house church, you've been in a small group. Just imagine you're there. Just like you're living in East Germany and the Stasi knocks on your door, kicks it in, and they drag you out. Your little children are sobbing at your feet and Paul's dragging you out by your hair. Brings you out to the street, and we get to the next verse. He caused many to be sent to prison. He condemned them to die. He whipped them to get them to deny Christ, violently opposing them and hunting them down. He persecuted them, hounded them to death, both men and women, and put them in jail. Acts 9:1, he uttered threats with every breath, eagerly destroying Christians. Paul was a terrorist. Paul was a really, really, really terrible man. And he's going throughout the early church from city to city with orders from the leaders to do anything he wants to the Christians. And he's persecuting them mercilessly, male and female. This is a really bad guy. And he's on one of these journeys to a town, Damascus. And on that road going there, God strikes him down. And at that moment, Paul's eyes are open and he comes to realize, I am the broken person. I have been persecuting Christ. I need Christ. Christ died for me, and he embraced Christ. And from that moment on, Paul spent the rest of his life and eventually was beheaded because of his love for Jesus Christ and his love for all the Christians. And his love throughout the Gentile world, which Jews would have nothing to do with, and Paul was a Jew, taking the good news of Jesus Christ's love to Galatia, Colossian, Ephesus, eventually Rome. And he wrote the majority of the New Testament. God did through him. If there's hope for Paul, there's hope for you. I know that there's no one sitting in this room here tonight that is killed, whipped, murdered, beaten, and drugged men and women out of their homes by the hundreds. We got some people here that have done some jail time or maybe some prison time. But I'm telling you right now, we don't have anybody in this room as bad as this man Paul in their actions. We're all as bad before God in our heart. But in our actions, this was a very bad man. And Christ changed his life. Now, I've been waiting all day to do this because I got these. In fact, I'm going to give you a chance at the end. I'm going to give you my email so you can send me your own stories. But I have five stories that I want to share with you tonight that are just so touching to me. This is why I do what I do. This is why we do what we do. It's to see Christ change lives. And every one of these individuals, I'm not going to use their names. They told me that I could, but I'm not going to. Every one of these individuals, I know them personally. I have watched them grow from tiny babies. Some of them I had the chance to lead to Christ. Some of them came as little teeny tiny baby Christians, floundering. And I've watched God radically change their lives. And I thought it would be so touching for you to see brokenness in real life. And see and hear the reality of people's real stories and what God did for them. So you might understand he can do the same for you. I grew up in a loving family, but there was a lot of dysfunction and chaos in my home. Around 14, I started to struggle with depression. Soon I was drinking, and by 17, I'd been through two alcohol and drug rehab centers, been hospitalized for suicide attempts, and had been arrested for drunk driving. About this time, a girl I was working with introduced me to The Rock. I told my sister about it, and she went, found Jesus Christ in a brand new life, and her life is dramatically turned around, and that sister is still here today. Over the next few years, I would come and go periodically to The Rock, desiring to know more about God. In 2001, I attended a Rock retreat where I initially accepted Christ, but soon I walked away from the Lord and The Rock, and my life once again got very difficult. My drinking worsened. I started using drugs, including cocaine, meth, and finally crack cocaine. I went through more drug rehabs, more hospitalizations, and was again arrested. In 2004, I returned to the Rock. But shortly after my return, I got pregnant. I placed my child up for adoption in 2005. Shortly after the adoption, I again left the Rock, turned my back on God, and returned to a life of drinking, drugs, sex, and deep depression. I then started to date girls. Deciding I was gay, for 2 years I lived in an abusive relationship with another woman. During this time, I not only was living a life outside of Christ, I was violently opposed to God, claiming myself an agnostic. No matter how hard I tried and how hard my heart got, I always questioned whether I had totally walked away from the only true and good thing I had ever known. And I knew I had. Sometime in 2009, I slowly and apprehensively returned to the Rock. Soon I was reconvinced that Jesus is God and that I needed Him in my life. I joined a small group. I started attending house church. But one night, in a one-night relapse of partying, I again made a bad decision which led to another pregnancy. I was now pregnant for a second time by a different man, and the shame and embarrassment and fear I had was almost unbearable. But I decided this time to stay at the Rock because I knew it was the very best place for me to be. Time and again, I was shocked by the reaction of Rock members as they slowly found out about my pregnancy. They did not judge or look down on me. They mourned with me, prayed with me. They encouraged me. They comforted me. They stuck by me. They supported me. Time and time again, they gently brought my attention back to God and to God's promises. Printing out verses in the Bible to lift my spirits. This time I kept my little child, and in 2 weeks he'll be 1 year old. I've never been happier. The Lord has blessed me in so many ways. He has brought me the healing and hope. Time and again, He has proven to me that God does indeed work all things for good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. I know this young person personally. I helped them find an adoption for the first child. I helped the siblings reach out to this young person. This young person is like a daughter to me. I am so grateful to God that He loves broken things. This guy I also know very well. My life had been spiraling out of control for a number of years. I was raised without a father, and it made me feel like I was an outcast with the other kids. All the boys, my friends, played sports, but I could not. I didn't have anyone to ever spend time with me to show me how, really. I developed deep insecurities at a very young age. I jumped at any chance to fit in. When I entered junior high, craving any sort of attention, I found an older man that I could look up to. He was a Satanist. So I began studying Satanism and witchcraft. This was a very bizarre and a very dark period of my life. In high school, I found a new crowd, the addicts. I quickly grabbed onto alcohol and became a binge drinker. Immediately, in just a few years, I destroyed every meaningful relationship I had in order to make room for meaningless ones. By age 21, I had my second DUI. I got my girlfriend pregnant, and I funded her abortion. I wanted to die. I had nothing left worth living for. I had no hope. I was too afraid to kill myself, but I didn't want to hurt anymore. I was 24 years old and a huge mess, but God began working in my life in unexpected ways. I got myself sober, and one night I received a flyer about the Rock. I wandered into a service and for the first time heard a message of hope that I'd never heard before. Stereotypes were broken and so was I. That night, God revealed my complete brokenness and the ugliness of my sinful lifestyle, and I accepted His forgiveness and embraced His Son, Jesus Christ, as my own Savior. God has since used this broken, addicted wretch who once had no respect for human life to now live a brand new life, and He's used me in the lives of others to bring them to Christ. I have found the worth I was searching for my whole life through the love of my wonderful and very real Heavenly Father. I know this young man very, very well. And it's remarkable what God has done in his life and what God is doing in his life. This is from another young lady that I also know very well. I grew up in Minneapolis with both my parents, but with lots of religious baggage. My father was a raging alcoholic who was emotionally and physically abusive to me. And my mom was very codependent, so much so that she would turn a blind eye and tell me I deserved his abuse. Pretty much all my memories of my dad during my childhood revolve around drinking and his rage and abuse. By the time I entered high school, I had already smoked a ton of pot, a few other harder drugs, but my biggest drug was guys. I was willing to be anything for a guy to gain attention, do anything. I was empty. I had friends, boyfriends who went to church and were involved in, you know, Christian supposedly groups. I joined a few, but ironically, that's where I found most of my drugs, alcohol, and of course, more sex and more guys. I learned about Jesus at a head level, but never in the heart. Finally, when I was 19, my parents had had enough of me. And for my birthday in November, they gave me luggage and told me to get out of the house by January 1st. I had nowhere to go. I decided to fly to Seattle to a Bible college, of all things, and went to school there to get out of my parents' hair, but I failed at that too. One of the good things that happened while I was there was I was introduced to Jesus Christ. I moved back here for several years, sort of half-heartedly did the Christian thing. Then my sister gave me a flyer for The Rock. Though she was not interested, I started coming in 2001, and my life has not been the same since. Christ became so real to me, so powerful, and has changed my life in so many, many ways. God loves broken people. Then I received this one from another young man that I know, again, very well. And I could not include all the story. It was pages, really. Every one of these folks, they made them very short for me because they could be, you know, about 50 pages each. Growing up, I went to private school. I played violin since the age of 5. I ran track cross country and was your typical A and B student. But when I turned 17, it wasn't cool anymore to run or play a stringed instrument. I started hanging out with the wrong crowd and decided that being cool and fitting in was more important than those life goals. And I soon found myself in the throes of addiction to drugs, alcohol, and women. I got involved in many relationships that were of only the physical variety, with no substance. It wasn't long before these things led me down the road to complete ruin. 5 treatment programs, 2 DUIs, broken-hearted loved ones, and relationships to this day that remain unrepairable. It has cost me almost everything, including my life. I was unconscious, lying on a hospital bed from an overdose with a breathing tube down my throat to keep me from dying. As if this wasn't enough, 25 days later, I found myself arrested for rearing in a vehicle while under the influence again, and this time I was in jail. Just 10 days after my former fiancé left me, and I drowned my sorrows in as much booze as I could get my hands on, I met the girl who would eventually be my future wife. It wasn't 2 weeks into our relationship that she coaxed me into going to church with her. And as smitten as I was at the time, I said, sure, I'll go with you. Never really, of course, intending to go. But a few weeks went by and she called me on it and said, are you ready to go to church with me tonight? I said, sure, okay. Thinking, darn it anyway, now I have to. I'm sure he was thinking something else at the time. The miracle is that as of that Friday, I have been faithfully attending this church almost every single Friday for the last 8 years. I was introduced to my spiritual family at The Rock through my incredible wife a few years ago after committing myself to Jesus Christ and being baptized at Lake Ann down at Eden Prairie. We tied the knot and got married. Today I stand humbled as a follower of Jesus Christ and a devoted member to this incredible, amazing, powerful body of Christians whom I like to consider my best friends and my brothers and sisters. The Lord has done so many amazing things. I can't fit them all here in this letter. He's so real, so present, and he loves us so much. We are truly blessed to have found Christ. I could go on and tell you so much about this young man and his wife and the family and all they've had to go through and the faithfulness of God in their life. It's just so profound. And this is the last one. of another dear young lady that I know here extremely well. Mark, I grew up in a very dysfunctional alcoholic home. My father worked all day, but then drank all night. My mom was extremely sick most of the time. My dad would say very inappropriate comments to me about the shape of my body as I was a developing young girl, very sexual in nature. I was very quiet, self-conscious. I wore baggy clothes to hide my body. I rarely spoke a word because I was afraid I would be judged. My father told me my dreams would get me nowhere. My mother told me I was good for nothing and lazy. There was a ton of codependency, unspoken anger, internal rage, confusion, fear, name-calling, and yelling, to name a few. The dysfunction was never talked about. My mom also told me there was nothing wrong with them. It was me who had the problem. Many of my friends come from jail and straight from prison. My low self-esteem and desire to be accepted led me down a path to stealing, exploring different New Age religions. I became friends with men and women, and I would fall into emotional codependent relationships with both sexes that would over time evolve into sexual relationships. I would foolishly spend money trying to fill a void of the love that I could not seem to find. I was drinking and driving all the time. I pushed so many boundaries while dragging with me many damaged relationships. I ended up attending a codependency recovery group for several years. I started to get bored with my life and began to feel hopeless, confused, angry, scared, lost, with no direction. I was the only one I knew of all my friends that desired a more meaningful life, but I didn't know where to find it. About this time, I was invited to the Rock. For the first time, I heard messages of hope and a clear direction to follow. I was able to see my destructive path and discover that God wanted to love me right where I was at. Once I asked for God to help me, the extreme heavy weights of guilt and shame were lifted from my shoulders. I began learning how to treat others and better and grow my character by reading God's Word. I got involved in a small group and taught me a ton about God and healthy, appropriate boundaries with godly men and women. I learned to use kind and gentle words when I spoke. Today, I know that my Heavenly Father loves me and is my biggest fan. People welcome me into their lives, even with my broken life. I have learned that because God loved me first, I can love others with a love that Christ has shown me. An enormous hole in my heart was filled with God's love and truth. I'm forever grateful and no longer feel lost, but now have a clear direction and eternal hope. These are real stories. This room is full of those kinds of stories. Now, you may be here tonight. This is your first time, or your fourth time, or your fifth time. And you're thinking to yourself, I know some of you are thinking this. Did somebody send you my story? That sounds an awful lot, Mark, like my story. Or maybe your story's over here. Maybe it's slightly different. And you've not yet found Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me tonight, give you the opportunity to find Jesus Christ. I'm going to have Jeremy come up, and we're going to close tonight singing one of my favorite songs entitled Rescue, because that's what we all need. We need Jesus Christ to rescue us. So I'd like you to bow your head, close your eyes, and I'm going to explain to you how you can find Christ, how you can know tonight that your sins are forgiven and that Christ can give you a brand new life. I also want to ask any one of you that would like to share your story with me, I will read every single one of them. Just send it to mark@rockthechurch.com. And I would really appreciate the opportunity to hear your story. Jesus Christ is here tonight with us. He's always every week. The reason we start with music is to sing to Him, to sing about Him, to worship Him. He's always our unseen guest. Jesus said, wherever two or more gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. The Bible says that He stands at the door of our heart, knocking. And if anyone is willing to open that door, you're on the other side of the door. Jesus is going to break the door down, but He'll knock. He'll knock. And I know for many of you, He's been knocking on your heart. What I want to share with you is this. All you have to do is do what these folks did. Is say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you to save me. I need to be saved. I am broken. I am hurting. I have made terrible mistakes in my life. I have sinned. And I believe what Mark shared tonight applies to me. I believe you died for me. I believe you love me. And I'm asking you right now, Jesus, be my Savior. Forgive my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. If you say that in your heart, I'm going to close in prayer right now. And as I close in prayer, you simply pray that prayer silently. God hears you as though you're the only one talking to Him right now. The only one. There's nothing you have to be ashamed of. There's nothing about you that God doesn't already know. You can't keep a thing hidden from God. He knows it, and He loves you anyway. He wants to adopt you. He wants you to be His child. He wants to give you a new life, an eternal life, a forgiven life. Father, I just thank you tonight for your incredible loving kindness, for your incredible mercy. God, we don't deserve it. None of us here deserve it. We just do not deserve it. I don't deserve it. But I'm so grateful that you reached down in my life 36 years ago on my Damascus Road, and you did almost kill me. I did almost die. And you woke me up to the greatest life I could have ever imagined. Nothing has been the same since. And I'm so grateful to you, Lord. I'm so grateful for the people that shared their stories with me and others I know in this room whose lives you changed, and you're in the process tonight of changing. In Jesus' name, amen.